Well, the prophets of old spoke of the day that was coming when the Holy Spirit would be a universal experience. The day that was coming when all those who believed would be filled with the Spirit, young and old, male and female alike. No picking and choosing, no some but not others, a universal pouring out of the Spirit upon all those believing. This, as opposed to the experience of the Holy Spirit, as recorded for us in our Old Testaments, when the Spirit seemed to take hold of certain people at certain times in certain situations. You can maybe put it this way. It was almost as if there were times when God needed a job done, and to that end, he would call up a particular person, pour his Spirit upon that person to enable him to do that which he was called for. Individuals for individual jobs in particular situations. So far in this short part of our series, we've looked at Gideon, we've looked at Bezalel, and last week we looked at Joseph, one in whom was the Spirit of God. And if you were to go through your Old Testaments carefully, you would find again and again people, men, largely sometimes women, most of them unknown to us except than by their names recorded in these instances. Folks who experienced the Spirit of the Lord coming upon them for a season and for a particular reason. If you were to look for one thing that all of those people had in common, it's probably this. They were almost all unlikely candidates. God had a way, and I believe still does, a way of choosing the obscure and the thoroughly ordinary men and women of this world. Which, if you think about it, is good news. Because aren't we just like that? Kind of ordinary folk? And yet God chooses folks like us for his purposes. Now, even the very first king of Israel, no less than Saul himself, was a relative nobody when God first called him out. He says in response to his calling, "But I am only a Benjamite." In other words, from the least of all the tribes of the Hebrews. And even within my tribe, I'm from the least significant of all the clans. In effect, Saul says to God, "I'm not the man you're looking for." God comes and calls him, and Saul responds, "Why me?" And you know, ever since then, people have been responding in the same way. Why me? Time after time in my ministry, as I have gone to people or become aware of people who are being raised up for a particular ministry, their first reaction is, "Not me. I'm not up to it. I don't have what it takes. Why me? Go and find someone else." Folks are usually only too well aware of their lack of qualifications. But here is a great spiritual truth. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those whom he calls. And he does that. He does that by giving them his Holy Spirit to empower and enable and energize and infuse and equip. God's not looking for people who have all the attributes ahead of time. He's looking for ordinary folk. And as he calls out ordinary folk, so he pours his Spirit upon them and enables them for what is laid before them. This is still how God works. Although now, in a much more universal way, pouring out the Spirit. But now, folks, for something I find slightly odd. In those earlier times recorded in the Old Testament, it seems that the Spirit would leave a person just as suddenly as coming upon that person. It forces us to ask why. Why would the Spirit sort of be removed from someone? Let me offer to you two reasons. And though I'm thinking historically to the experience of the Old Testament, I'm absolutely sure there is really important stuff for us now in this. Reason number one, why the Spirit seemed to be taken from a person, is this. After the job was done. In the Old Testament, God called up particular people to fulfill particular roles for particular seasons. Gideon raised up to lead the Hebrew people against the Amalekites and those invading neighboring countries. And others raised up for particular purposes. Once the job was done, it's almost as if at that point God is happy to say, mission accomplished. And those whom he has lifted up for a season, he is content to put back down. Almost like an army of conscripts is called up to face battle, but with the battle won, those conscripts are discharged and demobbed, and they can go back to being farmers and teachers and engineers and whatever else. So sometimes when the job is done, we read in the Old Testament, the Spirit would depart the person. Now, here is my application of this truth, as it might apply now. Those of us who have ministries or roles of one kind or another, we need to be gracious in relinquishing things when God says, well done, now take a back seat. As he did with folks whom he raised up for a season in times gone by, so we must also be ready, when the time is right, to graciously relinquish something that God has called us to, and be prepared graciously to return to the back benches from where God called us in the first place. And that, friends, requires humility that the Spirit gives. I think there is no greater example than the one of John the Baptist. Now, Bible scholars are almost certain that John had gathered for himself a following that was much bigger than the following that Jesus ever had. Folks went to John the Baptist in their droves. And his ministry was preparing the way for Jesus. But when Jesus came, John knew full well the time had come for him to relinquish that ministry, to retire to the back bench, back once more off the main stage. He knew that it was time for him to become less, that Christ would become more. Sometimes the job's done. I really hope and pray that when that time comes for me here, I will graciously understand and know and respond. Humanly speaking, I do not look to that day, I do not think of it in a sort of welcoming way. Because I love being here and love being minister to you and to this community more than I could ever put in words. Therefore, all the more do I need to be open to the prompting of God's Spirit. Because there will be a day when he will say, "Well done, servant. Your job here is complete." But there's another reason when sometimes we find it in the Old Testament that the Spirit was taken from such and such a person. And here's the reason. When sin had entered into a person to such an extent. Take Saul as our example. And as you read the story of Saul, you find this, that step by step, little by little, he turned away from God to do his own thing, ignoring the covenant of God, ignoring the commands of God, and becoming in the process a power crazy megalomaniac, concerned only for himself, only for his own survival and his own rule. He forgot entirely that he had been called to serve anyone whom God calls is called to serve. And that must never be forgotten. Saul, if you like, had become a kind of leader who ruled only by the iron fist and with absolute authority. And we see it in our world today. We see what happens when nations rise up against those megalomaniac leaders. Those who hold on to power as if it was theirs rather than the right to lead the people. We saw it across parts of the Arab world. We're seeing it now in places like the Ukraine. I seriously wonder we'll see it in North Korea. Because there the rule is so severe. And when you see a rule like that, which is all about the exercise of control and of power, you know there is nothing of God in that. Because when God raises up leaders, it is to serve. We see two aspects of this in Saul. As he lost sight of God. First one, that he became power mad is absolutely true. But like many such leaders, he became absolutely paranoid and insecure. He came across as all powerful, but deep down he was hopelessly insecure. And when you are insecure, you stop doing the right thing. You start doing what you think you should do to keep others happy and to hold on to your power. And even the time came when Saul understood that for himself, that he had sinned, that he had violated God's command, that he had acted out of fear and gave in to people around him who were leading him not in godly ways but in totally the opposite directions. We don't need power mad leaders, but we need strong leaders in tune with God. Not bending to every whim of those around them out of insecurity, but knowing what is right. Saul lost the plot. And here, folks, is the second bit of evidence. There's more, but here's the second bit of evidence for how Saul had turned away from God. In his early career, He was in tune. He listened. He heard the Lord and was guided by Him. But as he went on, as he turned more and more away from God, he stopped listening for the word of the Lord. He stopped waiting for God's guidance. And in one classic instance recorded for us in Scripture, we read that he turned to consult a medium, or as we might call it, a spiritualist. Samuel, the prophet who at one time had guided Saul through all of his early career, Samuel was now dead. I guess Saul felt somewhat alone. And yet, despite the clearly written commands of the Lord, Saul turned to a medium and said to that medium that he wanted to consult the spirit of the dead. Asking, in other words, what should I do? Looking for guidance from a dead spirit through a medium. Folks, there always has been, and still is, a fascination in spiritualism. There are a whole bunch of things in life that I might be inclined to say to you, so, you know, work it out for yourself. But in this matter, I'm absolutely clear. Avoid it. The tampering with spiritualism, the consulting of mediums, and all of that whole business, avoid it at all costs. It is wrong. It is dangerous. It is commanded against throughout Scripture. And even for this reason, in terms of consulting the dead and so on, you know, when I come near the end of a funeral, here's the words I say: rest in peace. Rest in peace. Do you know that this consulting of mediums and all of that stuff is the very opposite? It's about not letting those spirits rest in peace. And yet this week, I became aware in the Green Street Hall here in Arbroath that there was an evening of spiritualism and mediums and so on. Do you want to know how I became aware of it? On the Facebook page of a member of a church in town, not our church, another church in town, through this person's Facebook page, promoting, advertising, encouraging people to turn up to this evening of spiritualism. This being encouraged by a Christian person, I was absolutely dumbfounded. And then I think it's, I'm not sure if it's in February or in March, but in our very own Webster Theatre, the company After Dark is coming. And they're putting on an evening led by, I quote, our dedicated team of mediums and paranormal investigators. You know, it's promoted as a kind of fun night. Come along and spook yourselves and be afraid in the dark and so on. It isn't. Apart from anything else, they're charging £25. And you get £25 spare, put it in an envelope and mark it for my care and attention, and I'll put it to good use. Saul consulted a medium, and it was, if you like, a small incident, but it pointed out his complete and absolute turning away from any more listening and trusting in God. And that signaled the end for Saul of his leadership. He turned from God, and this was the result. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. That is a chilling verse The Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Now, here's where it could potentially get even more chilling. Question, can this still happen? Can it be that a person who has the Spirit of the Lord within them can have it taken, can lose that Spirit even now? Can it still happen? My answer is, yes, it can. Folks, think of a bucket that has a small, tiny pinprick hole in it. If you fill that bucket with water, the water will seep out ever so gradually. But if you were to keep on topping up the level, then it would maintain so much water in that bucket. Think of it like that in our lives, that we are ourselves buckets. Now, all of us are sinful to one or other extent. All of us have these little holes in our buckets. That's why all of us as Christians, we need to be in worship. We need to be continually before the Lord saying, fill me up again, please, with your Holy Spirit. Not once in my lifetime. Continue to fill me with your Spirit. Why? Because I leak. However, if our bucket becomes so much covered with holes, gaping gashes in the side of it through which the water just pours out, then no matter how much water you keep pouring in at the top, it will not hold it, because it will be flowing out all of these holes at the bottom just as quickly. And so, folks, it is in our lives. If we move so far away from God as King Saul did, if we turn our backs entirely on the ways of the Lord, then our bucket becomes so full of holes that we cannot any longer retain the Spirit that God pours out into us. So we can lose the Spirit if we turn from God. That's what happened to Saul, and so he was finished. And actually, long before the end of his historical reign, he was finished. And God sent Samuel to raise up another who would be king after Saul. So Samuel, as we read this morning, went to Bethlehem. Notice Bethlehem. Do you know any other person who was a king who came from Bethlehem? You see the pattern in the way God works? Samuel went to Bethlehem, to the family of Jesse, to find, to select, and to anoint the one who would be king. And again, as always, the right candidate was the least obvious one of all. Why? Because God doesn't judge as we judge, by outward appearances and by any other such things. God looks at people deeper, sees more, sees actually what a person is like. And that's how God makes his decisions. Says much later in the book of Acts, it says of David that he was one after God's own heart. What a lovely phrase. What a lovely epitaph that would be. A man and a woman after God's own heart. And that's what no one else could see as they looked on the outside, but which God knew about the inside. And it's what made David perfect to be the new king, the leader, servant leader of his people. So David was sent for, even though reluctantly. Notice the word but. Well, you've seen all of my sons. Isn't there any more? Well, there's one more, but he's just a scrap. He's the runt of the litter. We put him out to the fields in the morning to look after the sheep because he's not much good for anything else. And Samuel says, that's actually the one I'm looking for. That's the one that God is calling even now. The least likely of all. was the one God chose. And so he was anointed there and then with the olive oil. Samuel anointed him. And then notice this verse, which I love so much. Following his anointing, immediately the Spirit of the Lord took control of him, took control of David. Came upon him powerfully, as another translation says, and was able to work through him from that day on. Folks, we did it earlier with the children, but that should be our prayer as Christians. That the Spirit of the Lord would come powerfully upon us, filling us from within. That the Spirit of the Lord would take control of us in such a way that we would live to His glory. And surely, by His promise, surely God does give us His Spirit, has given us His Spirit, and will continue to pour out His Spirit within us. Perhaps when we believe and trust as a child, and as we live godly lives, turning our backs on the old ways, blocking up those holes in our bucket. Here's how Paul puts it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I think this is the precursor. This is the warning to that losing of the Spirit. And it's the way you live. You see that? It's how you live. Do not let unwholesome talk come from your mouth. Get rid of it. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every kind of malice. It's the way you live. Turn your backs on that. Live the new life that you're called to. And the Spirit of God will remain in you and fill you and empower you all your days. And we close with this thought. In the Old Testament, you look at the phrase that is always used, and it's this: the Spirit of the Lord came upon such and such a person, came upon them. But you see, after the resurrection of Jesus and then the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the language is different. Now the promise is not that the Spirit will come upon you, but that the Spirit will live in you. In you. This is a new day. This is the age we live in, when the Spirit will come mightily and dwell within us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.